There's almost nothing to benefit small businesses in this tax bill. And again, I was very, very happy with the bill that was coming out that they proposed in May. But this bill is complete bullshit. And again, I mean, that's one thing if, you know, you have a Democratic-led House or, you know, there's a mixed House and you got to play games. But this, there is no excuse for this. And that's why I've been saying all along that the Republicans are basically the Democratic Party light, or, you know, maybe the Communist Party light.
If you are close to retirement or recently retired, you can't afford to miss this commercial. What if I told you one of the biggest dangers to running out of money in retirement was a risk you've never heard of before? If you've never heard of sequence of return risk, please check out the trailer at sequenceofreturnrisk.com. And remember, an investment in knowledge pays the best interest. Benjamin Franklin.
Hey everyone, it's Tim Pachote, the Libertarian Advisor. We've got a lot to talk about this week. I was in Dallas last week, ended up losing my voice. So obviously could not do any podcast without having a voice, which, you know, is kind of unfortunate for my wife because, you know, the one week that I lose my voice, I'm not around her. So she didn't get the benefit of not hearing, having to hear me yap all the time. But anyways, you know, just wanted to sneak in a podcast, headed to Cancun on Wednesday for my wife's birthday. And I'm going to have at least one of these podcasts out a week. That is something that I'm going to make a pledge to do that. Really, I was trying to get a lot of things, you know, situated with business, with, you know, family life, with, you know, figuring out how to do these podcasts. But now I've got a great system set up. And so what I want to do is make this a regular occurrence. And then, you know, once I get more time and get better systems, we're going to make this a regular thing. So you guys will be able to check out the podcast. You go to libertarianadvisor.com. We'll have links to the Google Play Store, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, YouTube. And actually, I think the Google Play is not up yet, but that will be in the future. But what I wanted to, but we had a lot of things that were going on. One of the things I wanted to talk about first was, you know, that the GOP tax bill, because this tax bill, you know, it's been lauded as, you know, this great thing for the middle class and, you know, what a win for everybody. But, you know, when you really break it down, it's, and I did write a few notes in this. If you really break it down, this is really a bullshit tax plan that, you know, for having full control of all of the governors, for having full control of both houses, for having the presidency, and this is the best we can hope for. And you know, some people might be getting mad at me and say, hey, you know, give him a chance. Well, you know, I am a financial expert. I'm a certified financial planner. You know, I'm not a tax expert. That's not what I dabble in all the time. But what I will say, though, is that, you know, this plan is not tax reform. What it is basically lowering the rate closer to zero, which I'm all for. I don't even think there should be an income tax. I think there should be a consumption tax. We shouldn't be disincentivizing people to be spending, saving their money or working. We should be disincentivizing people to spend money. And maybe, you know, maybe the poor get some sort of exemptions where, you know, their basic needs aren't taxed, and otherwise, you know, people would cry out and say, oh my God, this is such a terrible thing for the poor. You know, that we can't have a consumption-based tax. But again, this is not tax reform. You know, reform would be a game-changing move, like maybe getting rid of the income tax and replacing it with the consumption tax. Reform would be a game-changing move, maybe trying to balance the budget. I'm not even saying balance the budget this year. You know, I'm not greedy. Maybe, you know, maybe even 5 years. You know, tax reform would be maybe cutting government spending. So, you know, it's all great, you know, pound your chest. And I'm not going to, you know, pound the table right now because I don't want to break a bunch of stuff. But it's not tax reform when you don't count, when you aren't even considering cutting government spending. I mean, a matter of fact, government spending is going to be going up. And so, you know, all the Republicans and Trump voters want to get mad at me for any time I badmouth Trump. But the fact of the matter is, he's doing a lot of things where, you know, if it were Democrats, you know, people would, you know, be up in arms over this. And again, you know, I am a certified financial planner. I've been one for 6 years, been a financial planner going on 10. I've been working, you know, in the stock market one way or another pretty much since I was 15. So, you know, I know a lot of people just look at me as, oh, this is some young guy up here. So, you know, what does the hell he know? But, you know, I was one of the youngest people ever to pass the CFP exam. So, you know, that is worth something. And, you know, and I will say this, I was completely ecstatic over the bill that they were going to propose to release in May. You know, that was an actual, That was a great bill. They were talking about having 15% tax pass-through rates. Now they're talking about 25. So I don't know what that is off the top of my head, like 60% increase. So, I mean, how are you going to, you know, lead with 15, end up at 25? And then I'm going to even get into how a lot of people, that's really kind of smoke and mirrors at 25, because a lot of people like myself who run a business, I'm not even counted as part of this. So my pass-through entity, I'm basically disqualified, because what Trump is saying is that, you know, anyone who has a personal service business, so, you know, your CPAs, your, you know, accountants, you know, financial advisors, you know, anyone who provides a personal service for anybody, you know, maybe like the, you know, any salesman that, you know, I think even lawyers, not 100% sure about doctors either, you know, entertainers, they're going to be wound up in this too. They're not even counted. So this entire bill is not even going to benefit those people at all. And I'm one of those people, so I'm also pissed. And the other thing is, there's a phase out. I mean, right now the limit is, and I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but I think it's $250,000. The tax rate is 25%. And so for the people who are making, so basically, you know, this, there is no relief for that average middle American income guy who's creating their own business, who's maybe making between, you know, 125 and 250. This bill does not do one fucking thing to help those people out, because the rate was already 25%. So if you're dropping the pass-through rate down from whatever it was, like 39.6 down to 25, and people who are making $200,000 a year as a small business owner were already paying 25%, you've done nothing to help them out. You know, what you've done is you've helped out the Googles of the world, the Amazons of the world. And I'm a free market capitalist guy, and I'd want to, you know, obviously see the rate move to a consumption tax and even get down to zero. But if I was going to prioritize who I'm going to benefit, it sure as hell wouldn't be the major corporations that were doing nothing but trying to drag you down the entire time, because they have so many different loopholes, whether it's, you know, the Irish Dutch sandwich and all this other bullshit that they do, or, you know, and great, you know, as a financial advisor, once I start making money, I'm just probably going to have a corporation in Puerto Rico, pay myself capital gains. There isn't capital gains tax over there. There's all sorts of crazy stuff you can do. And, you know, great, you know, thank you for basically, you know, doing nothing when it comes to that. And then there's also this other bullshit that they're doing now, where there's something where, you know, if you do have a personal service business, that only 30% of it can count as being your actual business income, and the rest of it has to count as your ordinary income. And so, you know, just kind of give you a little aside about what's going on in my life right now, is that probably next, you know, starting in January, I'm going to be kind of stepping away from my normal financial advisor business, take more of a managerial role in that business while I start another business. So, you know, I really truly will be, that really will be business income and really true respect. But I'm not really sure how the government's going to treat that. Are they going to say, hey, because, you know, you fall underneath the class of financial advisor, that's a personal service corporation, so therefore at least 70% of any earnings that come from this have to be derived from you, meaning that, you know, if I were to make, let's say, $300,000 a year, this 25% phase out wouldn't even apply to me. So, you know, this is I don't think that this is great at all. I mean, because what's going to happen is, you know, any savings that end up going on are going to be, you know, basically taken up in either higher accounting fees. You know, probably my health insurance is probably going to go up by, you know, more than the $1,200 that this is supposedly going to save me anyways. Before Obama, I was paying $70 a month for health insurance. This year, because I ended up having a baby, so we, you know, right off the bat in January, had to pay a $6,600 deductible on top of the $15,500 you know, insurance premium. So I'm looking at $21,000 as a 31-year-old this year. And last year, I probably didn't even make that much, because I started I moved from one company, started another one, had tons of business expenses, and then boom, January, have a baby. And so some of you are probably thinking, oh, well, you know, why don't you just go on Obamacare? Well, I live in Arizona, where basically Obamacare doesn't even exist. There's only, you know, one option for it. None of the doctors even take it. So unless I want to risk my child basically being born, you know, in the ghetto with, you know, some broke-ass doctor doesn't give a fuck about, you know, my child, and, you know, no one takes it in Arizona, so it's basically a moot point. So unless I'm some illegal alien that, you know, where the, you know, ghetto doctor you know, flunky, you know, is better off than any care they're going to get in Mexico, you know, I'm going to be substantially worse off. And the other thing I want to talk about is with this whole pass-through entity, what people don't realize about business owners is that we also have to pay not only, you know, the regular Social Security tax, but we also have to pay it for the employer as well. So if you're looking at, you know, Medicare and all the FICA, we're looking at, I think it's like 15.3%. So then if you add that on to, even if there was that pass-through rate that applied to me, which doesn't, at 25%, you're still looking at 40%. And so what I want to know is at what point are you not a slave? At what point, how much income do you have to pay to not be counted as a slave anymore? You know, obviously 100% you're a slave, 90% you're probably make that argument, 80% probably make that argument, 70% probably make that argument. But at what point does that argument not count anymore? Because I really want to know, at what point are you not considered a slave anymore? I mean, I would say, you know, certainly over 50, you know, that when over half your income is going to, you know, the state at that point, you know, I think that you're pretty much an indentured servant. But, you know, the ultra, and people want to make up all these claims like, oh, well, and then in the whatever it was in the early 1900s, there was a 90% tax rate. Well, A, that I think that applied to like the equivalent of like $10 million a year in today's dollars. The other thing is there was so many loopholes. It was the tax system back then was like Swiss cheese. And guess what? Nobody was paying that. I mean, there's probably less people paying that than were paying their taxes on Bitcoin. You know, I think last year there was like 893 or something people that paid taxes on Bitcoin, whereas I think there was like 400 people that ended up paying taxes at that 90% rate. And again, there's so many different loopholes that, you know, that really didn't apply to anybody. But, you know, there is some good things with the tax bill. You know, you are going to have a much higher standard deduction. I think that's great. If you're making between, you know, 40 and maybe, you know, 80,000, you're probably a net going to be a net winner out of this. You know, the Section 179 tax deduction, meaning if you buy a really expensive piece of business equipment, it's going up from, you can deduct, you know, $500,000 of it year one all the way up to $5 million. So thank you, President Trump. Like, I really need that fucking $5 million deduction because, you know, I work with, you know, because every small business owner I work with is just pounding out, you know, $5 million deductions because, you know, guess what? No fucking small business owners are like saying, oh my God, thank you for that $5 million deduction. Those are bigger businesses that are doing this. There's almost nothing to benefit small businesses in this tax bill. And again, I was very, very happy with the bill that was coming out that they proposed in May, but this bill is complete bullshit. And again, I mean, that's one thing if, you know, you have a Democratic-led House or, you know, there's a mixed House and you got to play games, but there is no excuse for this. And that's why I've been saying all along that the Republicans are basically the Democratic Party light, or, you know, maybe the Communist Party light, because my whole thing is, you've got, let's say you've got, you know, freedom over here. And I'm not sure if you guys can see this or not. So you've got freedom over on you know, one axis. You've got, you know, authoritarianism on the other side. And basically, you know, the Democrats and Republicans, you know, obviously the Democrats are a little bit more authoritarianism than the Republicans, but both of them are nowhere near freedom. So if freedom's all the way to the right, you know, the Democrats, you know, the Republicans are basically, you know, a little inch, you know, a millimeter away from, you know, where the Democrats are. And, you know, there's not a goddamn difference between them. You know, I probably need to, you know, institute like a swear jar. Maybe at the end of the year, I'll, you know, donate it, to some sort of, charity. But, you know, apologize for the language. And then the other thing that's going away is you got the estate tax is getting up to $10 million over 6 years. It's going to be going down, or it's going to go to zero. And again, the $10 million is more like $20 million because if you're married, then it's $10 million for an individual, $20 million for a married couple. And again, there shouldn't even be an estate tax. It raises very little revenue. It's just a big, class, political football that people throw. You know, as a financial advisor, actually one of the companies I'm trying to set up right now is a cryptocurrency estate planning company. There are so many rules that the ultra elite do and so many games they play when it comes to, you know, setting up foundations, when it comes to setting up charitable trusts that ends up paying themselves out and they get massive tax deductions. And then you can set up all sorts of what they call ILITs or irrevocable life insurance trusts. So then that way, you know, that insurance proceeds doesn't count as part of your gross estate. And there's all sorts of games you play. So basically, you know, that's only going to people, you know, maybe farmers that didn't, you know any better and didn't trust anybody in a suit, didn't trust, you know, financial advisors to, you know, sell them on this. But when, you know, the Bill Gates of the world, the Jeff Bezos of the world, the Warren Buffetts of the world, when they talk about giving away their money, they're not really giving away their money. It's privatized philanthropy. And again, this is something that, you know, I wouldn't call myself an expert on it, but in terms of knowledge on this, I'd say an 8 out of 10. But you know, I know and I work closely with the people that are 10 out of 10 on this. So this is something I know quite a bit about. Other things in the tax bill are you're no longer going to be able to deduct interest on student loans. No longer going to be able to deduct, there's no more adoption credits, no more adoption assistance. That's going away. I mean, I don't know, probably diverting that to Dreamers for all I know. You know, if you're a teacher and let's say you're buying, different school supplies for your children, you know, that's not going to be deductible anymore. So, you know, thank you, President Trump, that, you know, we're really glad that, you know, you had the $5 million deduction that's going on for, for the business owners, and then, you know, all the fat cats, you know, they're going to, you know, do really well. But that teacher or that, you know, person that, you know, was foolish enough to go to college and get themselves, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, unless they were, you know, a doctor, then that's not foolish. But, you know, I think in today's day and age that going to college is a joke because there's a lot better options you could do. I mean, there's certification programs, there's all sorts of, like the CFP program, you know, I spent maybe $5,000-$6,000 on that, got way more out of that than I did out of college. And then some of you might be saying, oh, well, maybe this guy's not that smart or he didn't get into a good school. Guess what? I got into the hardest school to get into, public school in New York, and did well in that. You know, had straight A's in high school, never missed a day in high school. So it's not like I'm, you know, some delinquent over here, you know, who, you know, is mad that I couldn't hack it. I just know that, you know, that basically there, everything you're learning in school is, you know, already obsolete by the time you've even learned it. And it doesn't apply to the real world, especially in terms of business, you know, entrepreneurship, you know, all these BS majors they have, you know, where you might as well major in basket weaving. Another thing they've got going on in the tax bill is there's no more Roth recharacterizations. So what this is let's say you had an IRA and you decided to convert it to a Roth. So you've got an IRA that is pre-tax money, meaning you got to deduct it from your taxes. So let's say you put in $10,000 and you made $100. Now the government thinks you made $90. Now what was going on since 2009 or 2010, they started allowing people to convert their IRAs into Roth IRAs, meaning the government would get the taxation. So someone had, let's say, a $500,000 IRA, and then, you know, they decided to convert it to a Roth, they'd have to add $500,000 onto their taxable income for the year. So again, there's not a lot of people who are doing it all in one shot. You know, it makes a lot more sense to, you know, do enough, you know, each year to kind of fill the next tax bracket. And there's all sorts of games you can play with that. And again, you know, you can talk with your financial advisor about that. But one of the things that people used to do is that there was this recharacterization. And what the recharacterization was is, let's say that $500,000, let's say it ended up going down, let's say the market crashed and now the 500 is now, I don't know, like 300. What people would do is that it's almost like a mulligan where they'd say, you know, hey, you know, I had to pay taxes on 500, but now, you know, 2 months later, it's 300, you know, let's do a redo on that because, you know, obviously, you know, it'd be much better for me to, you know, claim it at the 300 level and pay taxes on 300,000 than it would on 500,000. That's going away now. And again, it probably makes more sense, you know, in less limited circumstances to probably just wait until the next recession anyways, before you go ahead and do that. And what I want to get into now is going to be, you know, Antifa, but, you know, it's going to take a quick little drink here. All right. Now, I think Antifa, a much more appropriate name for these guys would be Profa, because these guys are the fascists. These guys are the ones who are endorsing fascism. And this is a point that I was harping on over a year ago in the Facebook Live, some of the very first Facebook Lives I was doing. I was talking about this fact, because when you look at the people who supported Hillary, you look at the people who fund the Democrats, you look at the people who fund all the rhinos, it's the big banks. Who'd the big banks supported? They all supported Hillary. It's the George Soroses of the world. Who do they support? They support the Democrats. It's the media. Who did the media support? The media supports, obviously they didn't support Donald Trump, the power elite. Who did the power elite support? Obviously they didn't support Donald Trump. And so, you know, wouldn't you think that if Trump was a fascist, that he'd have the media behind him, that he'd have the big banks behind him, that he'd have, the scumbags like Soros behind him, that he'd have all the pedophiles in Hollywood behind him, that he'd have all the power elite behind him. None of those guys were behind him because they hated him because he was stopping their fascism. Their fascism was the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And just, and I actually read part of the WikiLeaks that came out and the financial part of it, and it was absolutely disgusting what they were trying to do. One of the things they were trying to do is, let's say you're Italy and you wanted to ban Monsanto, and let's say Monsanto was making, you know, and this is hypothetical, let's say they were making $2 billion a year off their GMO Frankenfood. Now, what would happen is they would then take you to a tribunal set up basically of the corporations themselves, and then they could then impose a penalty on Italy and say, okay, Italy, you owe Monsanto $2 billion because we're the TPP and we're fascists, and this is basically the new one world government that is going to come in through disguise. And what also, you know, sickens me is that a lot of these Republicans, especially in my state, Arizona, where, you know, soon to be ex-Senator Jeff Flake, because the guy's too much of a pussy to run again because he knows he's going to get his ass handed to him by Dr. Kelly Ward, you know, he was saying, oh, well, you know, these aren't my Republicans because these Republicans don't support free trade. There is nothing free about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. You don't need a bill written in secret that's, you know, 10 times longer than the Bible to then, you know, talk about how free you are. You know, I could write, you know, how free we are, you know, on a piece of paper like this to then talk about if you wanted free trade. So that's one of the things that's going around, you know, even amongst the Republican media out there, you know, talking about how, you know, the Trans-Pacific Partnership is this big, you know, was, you know, such a blow for freedom around the world, such a blow for, you know, for free trade. And then when you look at who the fascists are, you know, the EU, you know, that's fascism. And how was the EU set up? The EU was set up at the very first Bilderberg meeting that happened. I think it was 1954 or maybe 56. And I'm not going to get into what the Bilderberg is and all that stuff. That's a whole nother rabbit hole. But, you know, that's where they were deciding, oh, we're going to have this trade bill. Nobody, and this was, again, in the 50s. So a lot of you are probably thinking, oh, well, the EU didn't come about till the late 90s or early 2000s. Well, no, it was, the plan was hatched in the 50s. They signed on the trade agreements. And now if you're, let's say, you know, one of the main reasons there was Brexit is because if you were, you know, a British citizen, you had unelected EU bureaucrats, mainly bankers, the fascists, who are the ones making your laws. And then even the worst part is these are the guys who are then, you know, grandstanding about how, you know, we needed to pay higher taxes, and, you know, institutions like the IMF are completely tax free. And if you want to talk about the real fascism that's going on right now, the real fascism is the central banks. The central banks, like the Bank of Japan, they're printing money out of thin air. So I don't know if you guys can hear this, making a, you know, typing on a keyboard because, you know, it's, you know, too slow to print money these days. And so what they're doing is they are printing money out of thin air, then using that money to buy up their own stock market. So they have 75% of Japanese ETFs right now are owned by the Bank of Japan. That is actual fascism that is going on, and not one fucking word from the Democrats or any of the media talking about this. And this is something that I've been harping on for a really long time. And then, so here's a clip that I want to play from CNBC. This is actually from a couple years ago. Actually, no, it's from 2012, June 23rd, 2012. And let me just play a little bit of this for you guys.
I think that right now, the question is, do we all work for central bankers? That's what I want to address to our guest tonight. Is this global governance at last? Is it one world, the central bankers in charge? Jim Yorio.
And the short answer to that is yes. And it's done by stealth because it's too hard for the average person to understand. And what's really frustrating is that Donald Trump is now playing into their hand when he knows damn well what's going on. And then it's not only the Bank of Japan doing this, the ECB, they've bought a huge amount of corporate bonds. And again, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have these all linked in the show notes where I've got where the different videos that I'm referencing, the different articles that I'm referencing, they're all going to be in the show notes. So make sure you guys check it out at libertarianadvisor.com. You know, also, you know, if you're only, you know, on your way home from work right now and you, you know, don't have, you know, the full time to listen to all this, you know, we will also be on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, YouTube. So, you know, it'd be a great thing to listen to later on. Please share it. You know, just trying to get the word out there. And, you know, another example I want to use is the reason why I'm so frustrated by all this tax reform talk is because if you have the very first dollar that was ever created, December 23rd, 1913, had 4% interest on it. So that meant if the very first dollar that the government borrowed in 1913 had 4% interest that was due on it. So what that meant is at the end of year one, you printed a dollar, then you owe a dollar four. Guess what? You can never pay back a dollar four with $1 because what you have to do is you have to print another dollar. And then all of a sudden now you owe 208 and you've only created $2. So right from the beginning, this entire system is a fraud. This entire system is bullshit and it's all a Ponzi scheme. And by the way, it's not like I'm some liberal up here, you know, complaining about, oh, woe is me and I can't make it. You know, I've got a business that's bringing in six figures right now. And I also have, you know, work in the stock market. So all this printing money right now is going to benefit me. So I'm actually talking against my own self-interest right now because I don't want my, you know, grandchildren and great grandchildren to be slaves to this whole system. And the other reason the stock market is so high is because, you know, you've got people like the, and this is from Zero Hedge right now, just the other day, is it shows a Swiss National Bank owns $88 billion in U.S. stocks. So for a family of four, it's like they own like $40,000 for every Swiss person there. You know, I wish our government owned $40,000 of U.S. stocks, but instead, you know, we've got $50,000 of debt, and then that debt doesn't even include Social Security, also doesn't even include Medicare, which is more of an unfunded liability than Social Security. So it's just absolutely crazy what's going on. If you want to know why the stock market's so high, you know, this is a former Federal Reserve governor, March 9th, 2016, Richard Fisher, and listen what he has to say about this, because I've actually used this analogy before I heard him use it.
I still have the power behind the stock market.
I think that power is running its course. I like to say that we injected cocaine and heroin into the system, and now we're maintaining it on Ritalin. How's that?
Ha 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 ha. Yeah, and so this is not me saying this. This is a former Federal Reserve governor who just recently stepped down saying this, that, you know, that it was on heroin and cocaine, now it's being maintained on Ritalin. And what they're doing is, it's the other central banks have actually stepped up their purchases. The Fed stopped purchasing late 2014, but since then, there's been even more. This year, there's been $2 trillion, and that was like as of like, you know, I think June, of central bank purchases worldwide. So what they're doing is, they're printing money out of thin air, then using that money to buy up stock markets, which then make, you know, everything look all rosy. And one thing that really pisses me off about Donald Trump is that last year in a debate, September 26th, I think this was the first debate with Hillary, this is what Donald Trump had to say about the stock market. And he also said this in June as well. So this would be June 2016, he said this. And then again, this is September 26th, 2016, Donald Trump.
We have the worst revival of an economy since the Great Depression. And believe me, we're in a bubble right now. And the only thing that looks good is the stock market. But if you raise interest rates even a little bit, that's going to come crashing down. We are in a big, fat, ugly bubble. And we better be awfully careful. And we have a Fed that's doing political things. This Janet Yellen of the Fed. The Fed is doing political by keeping the interest rates at this level.
Oh, and guess who Donald Trump just picked as his new Federal Reserve chair? I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this. He picked Jerome Powell. He may as well just left Janet Yellen in there, because Jerome Powell is basically a clone of Janet Yellen, who has no difference. And people say, oh, well, he's a Republican. He's a Republican that fucking Obama picked. Do you think that like any Republican, like Obama also picked Mueller too. So, you mean, you want to talk about, you know, all these, you know, Republicans, you know, that are in there right now. I mean, Jerome Powell is an absolute clone, but Donald Trump is in a very, very tough spot, because if he tells the truth, you know, basically that this whole system is, you know, a giant con, everything come collapsing down, and he would get, you know, absolutely you know, probably nothing done. But actually, the best time to get something done isn't a crisis. So, you know, really pissing me off that he's playing patty cake here, because he has two decisions right now. He can either save the dollar or he can save the stock market. He chose to save the stock market, completely selling out his message. And so when I need to talk to other libertarians right now, you know, it's going to be a very, very hard sell, you know, to try to get them to vote for him again, because, you know, he's basically completely reneging this. And this is somebody who he can't fire. The Federal Reserve is above the government. You're not allowed to fire the Federal Reserve chief. It can't be done. Now, Congress could say, you know, the Fed is illegitimate and revoke their charter. And they did it once in 1812 when the British openly owned the what they called the first Central Bank of America. So the British came over here and burned down the fucking White House. That's not in your textbooks, because the textbooks are basically owned by the Rothschilds. You can go look that up, because they are a major owner of Thomson Reuters. But you're obviously not going to hear that in the fake news. And I forgot where I was even going with this, but this is so frustrating, you know, as somebody, when Trump was talking about, you know, we need to audit the Fed, you know, that's so important. And then over here, he's got a business as usual pick. And again, he's in a very, very tough spot. You know, if he were to come out and say, you know, this is what's going on, if he were to come talk like me, you know, the market would probably go down to 12,000 or something like that, maybe even lower. And then, but the absolute base fundamentals of this is, we have a debt that you can never repay. If you taxed everybody 100% and you assume they still work the same, which they obviously wouldn't, you could take all the rich people's money and there's more debt than there is money, and you can never repay this. And so if we couldn't, you know, work our way out of this debt, you know, when we had surpluses, which actually weren't real surpluses if you counted Social Security, but, you know, Clinton didn't save those. He ended up spending those. And then the only reason he had surpluses is because the baby boom started in 1946. People spend the most amount of money in their life lifetime at age 46. So if you add 1946 to 46, you get 1992, which is right when Clinton came in. So that's why Clinton, you know, benefited along with the dot-com boom. It had nothing to do with any of his policies. And so, you know, now all those baby boomers who are turning 46 and 92, you know, now they're turning 66 or 71, and now they're going to be forced to take liquidations from their retirement accounts, because once you turn 70 and a half, or actually it's the April 1st after you turn 70 and a half, the government makes you take out, you know, what they call required minimum distributions, or RMDs. So that's starting for the baby boomers. So instead of being a net positive to the economy, now they're going to be a net drain on the economy. So it's very disheartening, you know, having Trump, you know, basically talk like me last year. So a lot of people are getting mad at me, like, oh my God, you know, you're abandoning him, or you're not fully supportive of him. No, I'm keeping his ass honest about what he was talking about over a year ago. He's the one that flip-flopped, not me. It's going to be very hard to convince libertarians of trying to get, you know, get back on the Trump train next year. But again, you know, this is, you know, I've got my mother-in-law that we've got to pick up from the airport right now. You know, we're heading out to Cancun. So, you know, she's going to watch the kids, and that's going to be, you know, much needed vacation. First one we've had by ourselves. But again, make sure to check out the podcast on iTunes. It's going to be on Google Play soon, Stitcher, Podbean, YouTube, probably a few other platforms I'm forgetting. Go to libertarianadvisor.com. Make sure to share the links. We'll be doing at least one of these a week, but you know, I'm out of here. And again, you know, apologize for some of the language, but you know, when it comes down to these issues, you know, all I have to say is that Jesus whipped people for a lot less. He went into that temple and he whipped those money changers. And what they're doing today is about a billion times worse than what they were doing to money changers. They didn't have derivatives back then in the biblical days. They didn't have, you know, swaps. They didn't have, you know, futures markets. They didn't have, basically, so many, you know, so much like CDOs didn't have like all this synthetic bullshit that they have right now that is built on a house of cards. Speaking of the house of cards, we didn't even get into, you know, all the pedophiles in Hollywood. We didn't even get into the JFK files. We didn't even get into Donna Brazile and the Democrats, you know, fleeing the sinking ship that is the Democratic Party of now trying to throw Hillary under the bus. And, you know, people are, you know, sending me links of like, oh my God, look what's going on. Look, Donna Brazile admitted this. I'm like, yeah, no shit that the Democrats rigged it. And I honestly think that Bernie Sanders would have won if he, and again, I obviously not a Bernie Sanders fan. I mean, I think anyone listening to me can, I don't know, probably grasp that. I think Bernie Sanders would have given Donald Trump a run for his money. I think he would have done a lot better than the old witch Hillary Clinton. And the Democrats have no one to blame but themselves, not the Russians, because if anyone had ties to the Russians, it was the Democrats. And you guys can go back to podcast episode 5 to listen to that one. Anyways, peace out. Sorry for you know, all the rambling on, you know, some of the swearing in this, but it's only because I care about America. I do want to make America great again. And I know that the best way to fight now is now through the information war, because a lot of people, you know, want to talk about how they're going to go out and, you know, they're going to use their AR-15s and be engaged in some sort of civil war when everything goes to hell in a handbasket. Well, guess what? If you're too much of a pussy to say something now, you're probably too much of a pussy to go out and actually, you know, shoot somebody if it does get into a war. So that's why I'm fighting now, because, you know, I'm not going to, you know, because guess what? I'm not going to be fighting if there is some sort of civil war, because my ass is probably going to be going offshore, you know, because, and let everybody else duke it out, because, you know, at this point, fighting an actual civil war is pointless. But the Democrats and the George Soros of the world are trying to stoke it. And that's why George Soros just poured $18 billion. One of the most important steps anyone can take in investing is figuring out how much risk they can handle. We use a tool called Riskalyze, which gives you a custom risk number between 0 and 100, with 100 being the riskiest asset you could have in your portfolio and 1 being the least. In 5 minutes, we can tell you what your risk number is, and if you'd like, we can arrange to also tell you how much risk is in your portfolio, as well as what the hidden internal fees are, dividends are. This is incredibly valuable information you'll want to help prepare for your retirement. We know that not everyone who does this will become clients, but if you found this useful, please share this on your social media feeds. If you want to find out how much risk is in your portfolio, please email info@focalpointwealth.com or please call 480-771-PLAN or 7526. Thank you. Are you interested in learning more about your Social Security options? If so, we may have the perfect tool for you. You can get started by clicking on the banner ad above or the link below. From there, you simply enter your basic information and spouse information, if that applies. Next, enter your full retirement age benefit amount.
Then, on the next screen, you can toggle your Social Security start date along with your spouse's to see how that affects your cumulative lifetime benefits. Finally, at the end, you will be able to see how much money you are potentially leaving on the table with your current selection. And if you'd like to schedule a free consultation where we can take a deeper dive into your Social Security options using the more advanced version of this tool, please leave your contact info on the final screen along with the best time to contact you. If you get to the end and don't want to be contacted, that's fine too, but we hope that if you found value in this tool, that you can share the page with a friend on your social media feeds to help spread the word. We appreciate you visiting our site, and we hope to earn your business someday. And remember, at Focal Point Wealth Management, your future is our focus.
Over the last 9 years of my career as a financial planner, one common theme emerges amongst retirees. Tim, I wish I knew this information when I was starting out, because if I did, I would be in a much different place today. If you are a millennial or are close to one that you care about, please share millennialinvestorblog.com with them. Whether it's learning the differences between an IRA and Roth IRA, or the importance of saving early, we've got them covered. We also have a place for them to open up their own retirement accounts for as little as $5,000. If they want our help, we'd be more than happy to assist them, but if they want to do it on their own, then that's fine too. MillennialInvestorBlog.com, where millennials' future is our focus.
Me again, I just want to make a quick addendum because there's something I did want to talk about real quickly, and I forgot to talk about it, so here goes.
The Great Depression. And believe me, we're in a bubble right now. And the only thing that looks good is the stock market, but if you raise interest rates even a little bit, that's going to come crash.
No, he is absolutely right on that, because if rates go up at all, let's say rates went up to 2%, it probably means the government would have to borrow at 5%. 5% of $20 trillion is over $1 trillion in interest. Game over. And so there's actually a good song by David Gilmour, one of the lead singers of Pink Floyd. And I think that this song, you know, perfectly encapsulates exactly what the Fed is doing right now. They're absolutely stuck where they are.
There's no way out of here when you come in, you're in for good. There was no promise made, the part you played, the chance you took.
Again, that's David Gilmour. There's no way out of here. And, you know, with the Federal Reserve, there is no way out of here. There's no way out of what they've gotten us into. And, you know, we're stuck at low rates forever. At some point, the whole system is probably going to collapse. Maybe that's why Bitcoin is going to the moon right now. I don't know. But, you know, that is something I did want to talk about real quick. I forgot to. So just wanted to sneak that in there. Thanks, guys.